Good morning, Jake. How are you?
Good, man. How are you today, Mike?
Fantastic. I am pumped. I've got a great concept for today's show. You're going to be the star. Actually, your client's going to be the star of today's show. You know what? Disruption, we're all about going fast, doing things differently, innovating. I've got a great case study. You had a client that just sold a distillery and in your neck of the woods and is reformulating some of that revenue to help out with another business he's got. I want you to walk through how you did all that, helped him, you coached him through it, the disruption method, like how this guy started. Let's walk and let's call him Tom because we don't have permission to use his actual name. Yeah. So we'll call him Tom. I'm going to write that down, T-O-M, because I'll forget his fake name. But it's a real person, audience. So just let's be clear here. Nobody's lying. Let's walk through for the audience. Let's walk through the mental challenges, the total disruption method, and the sale, the decisions behind it, the stress. Let's go through step by step, and I'll ask you along the way what that looks like. I know a lot of people out there that are aspiring entrepreneurs and business owners want to get to a point where they can actually sell their business for a couple million bucks. And either they're involved in something else and they just want to kick back for a little while. This is a hot topic these days, man, especially with things happening in the workplace and the markets. So let's go, Jake. I mean, let's unpack Tom's success journey.
Yeah. And you really clearly, let's start out right here. You said a lot of people want to get to the point they want to sell their business for a couple million dollars. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. One of the best things I heard when I first got into business, but it took me years to actually listen to it, was think with the end in mind. Think with the end in mind. So when you're starting a new venture, doesn't matter what it is. So Tom had already a successful brokerage for one thing that he was doing. And
what's a brokerage, just in case somebody doesn't know?
Commission-based sales. So like you can, easy one is to think real estate.
Okay.
Right? A real estate brokerage has a number of agents in there that all sell product, which in that case is real estate, or they sell something network marketing wise. So Basically he's the brokerage that has the salespeople. The salespeople sell the product. The product is what creates the revenue for the business. That's the basic parameter of that. So he still has a successful brokerage. Has a nonprofit, like to call that for purpose, has another business, had a restaurant at the time, a lot of things starting out, right? And the initial conversation was really wanted to franchise in the beginning. Well, all these are great conversations. Yeah, hit me.
Real quick, what did he want to franchise? Did he want to franchise the real estate business? Did he want to franchise the brokerage? What did he want to franchise?
At the time, it was the restaurant. Really wanted to franchise the restaurant at the time.
Right.
Now, here's where looking back at this from a case study, hindsight is 20/20. We know that is true. Looking back at this, and this is where even me, and I will own this as a coach, we didn't have the conversation of when are you going to sell it? How much are you going to sell it for? When we launched into all this, right? We didn't have that conversation. I'll own that one. Like we walked around it, we dated, we danced with it, but we never just said, we're gonna sell it at this time and this is how much it's gonna be. Like he was married to those businesses, full on married to those businesses. And I'm using that as an example because of that emotional connection that ended up occurring with all of these businesses. So, you know, roll it back. This all started pre-COVID. Like this, there was a lot of just really big ramp up. We're going uphill. We're doing things. Well, if everybody remembers restaurants during COVID, those were a workout. Those were hard to manage and deal with. They did a great job. They launched a second and third location right before COVID occurred, physical locations with the restaurant. And at the time, brought in the ability to do the distillery work. So they started doing some of that. Well, all of a sudden COVID happened. Now they're tents outside. They're doing all kinds of weird stuff. And so like, this is like, if you think about during a marriage, you've got that honeymoon period in the beginning, like, man, this is awesome. It's all hot and heavy and it's super cool. And then you get into the business of marriage, you know, who's picking up who's paying bills, who's doing that. And it's that same spot in business. It's the same spot. There's an emotional connection to this. And yet again, there was no plan in the beginning to sell them. We're still married to these.
So yeah, hold on for a second. So I can imagine the last, to not even shutter and close your doors during COVID should suggest this guy has a knack for the business and a real drive. Because I can remember when going in Philadelphia, talking to people that were servers right after COVID, and we can't find anybody to work. I'm working every day. Restaurateurs can't find help. Help doesn't last long. You know, people are sort of quitting. Everyone wants to sort of sit at home and work. And that was that's a difficult environment. And to survive COVID and then move that restaurant to something else and then to be in this position, I'm sure this is mirroring a few people in our audience right now who are thinking, man, yeah, during COVID, it was kind of some dark times. So how did we go from the dark to the light to midway through? I know you guys didn't have that because again, you should always have a solution. Like you start a business and you say, okay, I'm going to run it to 15. I'm going to run it. I'm going to sell it at 3X production typically. So, if it's producing 15 million a year, I'm going to sell it to three times as much. If it's producing five, I'm going to triple the value of the business and sell it there. But so, okay, you're here. How'd you cultivate the next step? Like it's post COVID, the marriage is there, the business of marriage, it's dark. Where do we go from there?
See, the unfortunate part, the fortunate and unfortunate part, right? What forced the conversation, it wasn't a choice. It wasn't a decision we made to say, all right, Tom, when are we going to sell these things to focus on this thing? It was not a decision we actively said we engaged in. It should have been. It should have been. And these are conversations we're engaging now. What caused it is all the stress of COVID, all the dark, as you put it, with his business partners at the time. Now we have a trial separation that kind of occurred. Now we have, everybody was romantically involved. We love each other. It's awesome. COVID happened. We don't love each other quite as much as we used to. Who gets the kids, right? We kind of marched down that particular road. So now we had to start having some different conversations. How do we change the dynamic within what it is to make it keep working if we want to keep running it? If everybody wants to stay involved, how do we do it?
So were you using like mental techniques? Were you using future casting? Walk the audience through some of that stuff, because this is the meat of why we do what we do, right? Mm-hmm. This little delta right here, this is like total disruption at its finest. You've got a train of thought. You got your client, Tom. He's kind of got these blinders on. He's going through some problems. And how do you help? Let's say they're not a member of the guild. And let's say somebody is out there on their own just listening to us and wants to get some real value here. What do you do?
So the first one with this one, when you get emotionally charged. So I go back to a book that Dr. Matt Townsend wrote years ago. And he's a marriage counselor. So like... I follow this on purpose, because when you have partnerships, it's a marriage, guys. You dated your partner. I mean, Mike and I, when it comes right down to it, in business, we are married in this project right now. We dated for a while and we're doing the thing and we're married and this is what it is. And you've got to have the communication. So we go into communication models. First, we have to see, is this, what do we know is true? It's one of my favorite questions. What is true? Because you can make up all the falderal, all the crap about what's going on in the business. It's their fault. It's this. We don't communicate, blah, 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 blah. Right. But what is true? What's actually the issue here? What is the thing? Can we get to the truth? Can we get some resolution around what's true to make the partnership work? That's one. Once you kind of get to that space and are we working together moving forward is a piece of this. How are we working together moving forward? The next piece is we have to future cast it. You're right. You've got to have the question. And everybody asks this. but we don't put the time and effort into really honestly answering the question. And the question is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? But you have to dig deeper in that. 5 years from now, we're having this conversation. Where are you? What are you doing? What do you hear? What do you see? What do you feel? All of the visual, auditory, kinesthetic, bring all the emotion into it, the full imagination of crafting the picture. 5 years from now, this is where you are. This is what you're doing. Do you still own the distillery? Yes or no? And this is where we get really clear on this. If it's not a yes, it's a no. Well, maybe possibly it's a no. Either, yeah, man, I got this. We are 100% running down this road. Okay. When you say we, who is we? Me and this one person. Is this other partner involved? You have to get real clarity on where you're going. Because now if we know, that's where we screwed up in the beginning. And it was the, we're going to franchise, we're going to do this. And it was grow, go, grow, grow, grow. Into what? Into where? Into when?
Okay.
We didn't have the end in mind.
Got it. So how, so I guess they what, got rid of the restaurant, moved on to the other thing? Is that kind of what started?
So basically, happening? Yeah, the restaurant evolved into the distillery. And okay. The distillery ended up becoming, we got rid of the franchise idea. It just wasn't going to fly at that time. We were going to go into local, went into distillery, partnership still not there. Partnership still not there. So we had to get really real about it. And there came a moment to where it was, all right, this is actually physically, mentally, emotionally affecting both sides. They're not getting along and the business is suffering. The business is suffering. And the best thing to do was sell the business. That was the best thing to do. Sell the business. Now, after all this time, now we have to craft a, where are you? How much of it? What's the actual valuation? Walk through the whole thing of selling the business, which straight up in this event, divorce. It was a divorce. It comes right down to it. This was a divorce. Who gets the kids? Where's this going to go? Now, looking at that, we've heard some different stuffs about being present in the moment, and that's all well and true, and that is true. And this is that moment to where you got to go, okay, what am I going to do after this is over? I have put so much blood, sweat, tears, emotion, drama, you know, drug of the world through this. And this has been my universe for the last several years. Like, we fought tooth and nail to keep it alive during COVID. And here we are. And here we are. What do we do next? Same question. Where are we? What are we doing 5 years from now? Where are we? What are we doing 5 years from now? We go back to future casting again, because now that sets us up for what are the activities now that get us to there. So what do we do? Yeah.
So are you just coaching Tom at this point, or Tom and his partner? And like, how many coaching sessions does something like without having a group that you can bounce something off of? And, you know, this was a solo coaching project. How many coaching sessions are you, like, three times a week here, once a week? Are you doing emails?
So once a week dedicated is what we standardly have done historically, that we had that time dependent. And I always have my clients reach out to me. You need something, you know, you need something at, you know, 8 o'clock on Friday night, cause it's bugging you. Don't wait till Tuesday morning at 8 when we have our conversation. Call me, reach out to me on text, you know, make sure I know about it. And let's spend 5 minutes walking you through to put that to bed for a little while. I mean, we're answering emails, we're going back and forth. I mean, that's just what it is. Like, a lot of people think that a coach is just a coach, but the reality is think of it as a fractional board of directors. Like, this is, this is that opportunity for you to have non-emotional, data-driven conversations with an individual or a group of individuals that are invested in you simply for the fact of taking care of you and taking care of your business. No other reason. I have no other emotional attachment to what's going on in there. What's true? Well, if you do this, this will happen. You do this, this will happen. Which one do you want to do? I'm going to march down this road. Awesome. Let's march down that road. When we get to here, this will happen, or this will happen. Which do you want to do? So it's just crafting that, because we have the ability to be at that 30,000 foot view. Whereas a lot of time when you're in a business owner, you're boxes, man. You're in this tiny little head down, digging. And you look up and you're like, I don't even know what dug this trench. Where am I? I have no idea where I am. Instead of you've got that partnership with you that can stand behind you and go 3 degrees left.
If I hear you correctly, part of what you did was set concrete targets in terms of the mind and the physical accomplishments, and Tom was fulfilling that relationship moving forward. And when Tom ran into a roadblock, either you figured out strategy around the roadblock, or the roadblock represented a different direction to go with adjacent, maybe not completely different, but like maybe just kind of adjacent off to the side, but still moving in a forward direction, you know?
Yep.
And what period of time post-COVID to sale, how long we're talking about here?
Well, decision to sell and sale actually only took like 90 days.
Another disruption technique. But
yeah.
Quick, go fast, get it done. Now, not everything in the world is a perfect disruption technique, right? Like to go from, you know, like this just sold. I mean, what are we in, 24?
Yeah.
Right? We're in 24. COVID was 19. So this is a 3-year arc, 4-year arc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in an arc here that wasn't quite disruption, but in my opinion, I think if you guys set those targets and you were falling short of the targets, that disruption trigger would kick in. And there, folks, is a $1 million lesson. If you actually have an outcome and you're not getting to that outcome, or there's no outcome in sight that you're trying to get to, you need disruption techniques. You need the brain shift. You need different conversations. Mm-hmm. You need a shift in aggression, or you need a shift in regression. And you need to steer quickly to start getting to those outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know that outcomes should always change. They should be organic in nature. But unless you're actually doing a passion project, every business outcome should have a result, some sort of economic measure, some sort of rapid or far or period timeline measure, and then the amount of effort exerted, right? So you start to realize, wow, I'll give an example. If I'm trying to land a client and I'm putting in an extremely unbalanced amount of energy in trying to get this client, I am actually missing other opportunities to get other clients. For some reason, this client, I've got these blinders on again. And I'm using disruption techniques. I'm being disrupted. I'm not disrupting, right? So it's very similar. If I've got outcomes and I'm saying, okay, my outcome is X, I want to do $100,000 a month in volume, and I'm chasing a client down, even if it's $100,000 client a month, I'm not landing them. At some point, I got to get out there and put just as much balanced energy back into the till to get things going. So not have a 4-year arc of chaos and to be able to deploy disruption techniques, outcomes are key. And that's kind of what I'm thinking about. So you had an outcome of let's sell the business 90 days, bang, sold. Now, do we make money on a sale? Did we break even, or did we lose money? And then what's the plan? What's the plan for the rest of the year?
So, yeah, I mean, they made a lot. They made good money on it. They did really, really well on the whole project. Overall, it was from an overall return on investment, they probably made at least, it wasn't 4X, 2.5 probably. I would get, you know, because I don't have the hard numbers in front of me, but I would say it's probably 2.5X, but it was over the course of from 2015 all the way, you know, they invested, it's probably a little better than that. I actually say it's probably 60-40, but for easy math, we'll go 33% across the board. So basically they put over the course of 2015 to 2000, end of 23, beginning of 24, about $1 million into the project. How much they put into it. They sold it. They basically sold, his portion was 3. So basically he got, you know, he more than doubled his money back is what that was. So it worked. It was good. And he worked his ass off. Like they were in it, man. They worked hard and they were emotionally invested in that a lot. We had the conversation many, 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 many times of what would we need to do to sell the business today? What would we need to do? But we were still very emotionally invested in the business at the time. Versus if we would have started day one with, all right, you're launching this thing. When you sell it, how much does it need to make? Like we could have set the expectation mindset in the beginning and it would have made that. I would imagine he probably would have sold it 3 years ago if we had set that expectation in the beginning. Would have sold it, would have made the same money.
Okay, I was going to say he would have made the same money. That's good. Because here's the other thing. And unless you're buying and selling a lot of businesses, and you and I have a friend that does this, you don't exactly know whether you're going to make this money or not. But if you're going to predict that you're going to keep dumping money into a business and you can make money out of a business, at some point you got to pull the pin.
Yeah. No, and that's 100% right. You've got to have. Yeah, you've got to have those metrics in place, right? I've got to have whatever your metric is, right? I've got to have a 2x on my investment into this business. It's got to be a 4x, whatever your investment number is, right? Whatever model you follow, you got to follow the model. Like you just can't throw good money after bad. We've all made those mistakes back in the 90s, right? We've all made those mistakes back in the 90s, full on made those mistakes. I'll keep throwing money at it. It'll work. I'll keep throwing money at it. It'll work. But I wasn't thinking with an investment mindset. Because I wasn't thinking end in mind. I was just thinking in build mode. So we get into building, those things.
Pie in the sky, income will happen because I keep throwing it. So I've got a couple of metrics I'd like to discuss real quick. Some pitfalls. And this, again, this is another disruptor technique. So the first one is when you're thinking about where you are with your business, what are you spending or doing to acquire customers? Mm-hmm. How much are you making currently net? How much are you making gross? Is there a wave trend coming that automatically will flood your business with people that you don't have to increase any more spending in ad or increase any more time in acquisition? You don't have to expand fulfillment, meaning hire somebody or get a bigger operation. If those elements are not present, right? If you realize, hey, look, I could dump $20,000 a year into my advertising acquisition, and that could be money in time and money in networking, money in advertising. And I'm at this spot in fulfillment because if I'm going to raise fulfillment, that means other people working for me, more time I'm spending. Where are these ratios? Okay. I'm at capacity. If I'm okay with capacity, that's fine. But if I'm not, and I'm not feeling it, and I'm feeling that tweak or burn, and my outcome is not, there's no more outcome, that's probably a pretty good time to exit out of the business and or find a way to streamline that business and start something new or enter into something new and increase your portfolio. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Jake?
So a quote, and I can't remember who said it. Do what you've always done, get what you've always gotten. Do what you've always done, get what you've always gotten. So if you're, you know, if you keep doing the same exact thing and throwing the same money into it, you're going to get the same result. With those metrics, here's the one that I know almost everybody pays attention to. Not necessarily the right one. It's gross revenue. Gross revenue. My business made $1 million last year. Awesome. How much money did you spend to do that? $985,000.
Right.
Right. And that's just it. What's the number? And I will tell you this, and you just have to know it. You've got to back up to your net. All right. How much did I make net of the net? What was my cost of acquisition? My cost of sales? That particular number is one that most business owners, the vast majority, I'll go 80-20 on this one because that's an easy one. 80% of business owners aren't paying attention to that number. You're right. The cost of sales. What is it costing me to get one person in? And what's my percentage beyond that? Like, and I will tell you, most businesses are running great businesses that are doing really, really well, 30 to 33% cost of acquisition. If it's costing you 70% to get one client, you're technically profitable, That's going to hurt,
you're really not.
But you're really not. Yeah. The really, really good ones are cost of acquisitions about 30%.
Cool. Well, I realize today is more tactical, but it's about time. We wanted to break open the vault a little bit, start talking about some disruption techniques, get people thinking. For more information, it's right here on the screen, www.total-disruption.com. We're out of time today, guys. So on behalf of Jake Clendenning and myself, we'll see you next episode.
Go out and do something awesome today, guys.